So how was the lunch? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, Talicia is really determined to stick with the Gerson principles. You know, the food, because in a real Gerson meal, it's a saltless diet. So there's no salt. But you know, we talked about moving sodium out of the cells. So if you have salt going in, how can you remove it out? Because it's a two-way street, right? So if you want to get the salt out, you have to cut out salt. And now your body can release salt with the help of potassium pushing it out. So if you don't go on a potassium diet, a high potassium diet, then that salt is not going to come out as easily. It'll take a long time, and you don't have this much time. You want to reverse the condition as soon as possible. So people who have like swelling somewhere in the body, it's usually the potassium that shrinks it. So if you have a high potassium diet, then you will be able to shrink a lot of tumors that are full of salt. Right? So what I'm going to do today, right now, is to show you. I have four cases, just to, so you have an idea how I manage this case, but a couple of them will be more of what happened to them, and the other two, I'll show you their labs, what happens when they're doing Gerson. So you can see, you know, how I analyze it and see the changes, the chemistry changes. If you don't have labs, if you feel better, great, but if you want to know for sure if the cancer is really reversing, you need to have labs. And what's nice about with the Gerson therapy and what you'll learn is that you can order your own labs. You don't need to see a doctor. It's called directlabs.com. Okay? It is a direct access to anyone who wants to have lab work done. So if you know what labs to order, then you can go and call the number up, and their number is 800-908-40s, okay, 0000. And if you call them up and you say, you know, I live in Fallbrook, what's the nearest lab I can go to? And then they will plug in your zip code, and they'll tell you, this is where you go to get your lab work done, and then they'll ask you, what test do you want to order? And then you just name the test. If you bought the book, it'll tell you what tests. So you can list the tests, and then they will. You can pay it over the phone with a credit card, or you go online, and then you can pay it as an online payment. And it takes 2 days to turn the lab around for results. 2 days. It's very fast. And if you order that way, it will cost, you will get about a 70% to 75% discount. So labs that are typically costing like $900 or $800 for a battery of tests, it will maybe cost you only like $250, $300, somewhere there. And that's typical for the baseline. In other words, it's the start before you do the therapy. You need to know where you are now. Like if you have prostate cancer, you need to know what's your PSA number now before you start. Because 1 month later, you will check it again and see if the PSA has dropped. Okay? So if it hasn't dropped yet, then you need to change something in the protocol to make it stronger. And then another month, you retest the PSA again. Okay, so what I do usually is I run a whole bunch of tests so that we'll have a good idea of where they are. Like, for example, anemia might be in the picture, so the hemoglobin might be 10, for example. Okay, and for men, it should be over 13.5 to 14, something 14 to 17 is men, and then women is typically like 12 to 16. And so if women's hemoglobin is less than 12, or at 12, That means to me you are borderline anemic, and most likely it will probably get worse. In fact, most of the time it gets worse because it's a disease process. You're deteriorating over time. Most anemia will get worse unless you stop it by giving the right nutrition to build up your bone marrow, to make more red blood cells, you know, the right diet. So you order the test, and then within 30 days of that, you start your Gerson program at home. So you have the book, and you follow what you see as after you read it. You make sure that you have, you're doing everything, except the only thing I would say you should be careful is don't do any thyroid unless you know for sure that it'll be safe for you to do it. Because if you have any heart conditions, if you have any problems with blood pressure, don't do thyroid unless you have spoken to somebody who can help you, like your doctor or even a practitioner, a Gerson practitioner, can look over it and say, yeah, okay, it's all right to do the thyroid. Because if your high blood pressure is, you know, you have got high blood pressure, then it could elevate it more. If you have anxiety problems, it could intensify anxiety. If you have an autoimmune problem, you could aggravate that because it causes more detox. Remember, it's one of the gas pedal that is very important. Okay, so anytime you press the gas pedal of the Gerson therapy, you are going to elicit something. Until you know how to take care of that, you're not going to feel good. Okay? Do you remember the five gas pedals? Can somebody recite that to me? Okay, what was that? Very important. I like that. What about the other four? What? Thyroid, okay. That's two. No, it's not liver. Juice, okay. Two more. Someone already mentioned oxygen. Iodine, one more. Potassium. So, five gas pedals. And the rest of the supplements in the Gerson therapy is supportive. But a five gas pedal, if you don't toggle it correctly, you may not get results. And that's what I'm trying to teach the doctors right now in residency. Now, there are 15 doctors right now, 15 medical people that are in residency all over the world, and we connect once a week in a video conferencing or telemedicine format, and they are going on rounds with me beginning this week. One of the groups of five, depending on the time zone. So what we do is I have a patient or a client in China, for example. Okay? So the person connects with me, and we've got the five docs that are watching, and I'm taking them on rounds. This is so-and-so. We've got this issue going on. And the client is sitting right there. I'm seeing them face-to-face. And we've got five other docs connected in a conference working with this client. So I'm going to work them up. Okay, and this is what we need to do. And I'll show them, you know, the client, you know, how to do things. And the doctor is learning how I do it so that we're all going to be the same way. When we practice the same way, everyone is going to be the same. No one is better than the other. We're all going to be in the same mindset. There's a way to think the Gerson way, and we have to be uniform across. So all these doctors want to do it right, and they're experts in their own field. Some of them are oncologists. I mean, you know, they know the situation, but from an allopathic approach, okay? Not from the Gerson approach. So you have to reset your thinking. Remove your allopathic mind. In Gerson therapy, when you're doing their Gerson, it doesn't work. It's not disease and treatment. It's a biological system that you're trying to balance. You've got adrenal systems are out of balance. You've got the thyroid out of balance. You got stressors, like things that are affecting your environment. The diet is one, wrong diet. Or you could be having problems with a relationship issue that's causing a lot of stress. Divorce is one of the worst situations. I've seen people with cancer a few months after divorce. People who have, like, lost a job, anything stressful it gets a person out of balance, and all of a sudden, hey, cancer just pops up. You know, it's a trigger. It's obviously, there's a connection there. And so you need to think of it from a stressor, environmental, and how it affects the systems, enzyme system, hormone system. You got the digestive system, nervous system. You see? Don't look at it from a tunnel vision approach. Okay, you got low glucose, you got diabetes. Okay, I'm going to treat you with insulin. You know? You're not taking care of the problem. You're working on a symptom approach. I will lower your symptoms, but you're going to have to come to me the rest of your life. Okay? But what you're doing here is you're going to correct the imbalance of the systems with the stressors using the right environmental change. And then it corrects the problem, and the person may not see you anymore for a long time, and that's the end of it. That's what you do when you're correcting a disease, is you're willing to relinquish relationship because they don't need your service anymore. So at that point, it becomes a client service oriented. In other words, client-centered. So if I have a problem, I'll call you. Okay? So that's what we do. Gerson practitioners are there to attempt or to try to correct this problem so you won't have to be dependent on a system. So it is evidence-based because we have labs to support it. So if the numbers don't lie, oncologists look at the same numbers I'm looking at. When they see the CA125 for ovarian cancer, they see it, and when it goes down, they're happy with whatever they do. I'll give you an example. There's one doctor oncologist that I'm working with right now. He actually referred the client to me. Oncology. Only one doctor, the first doctor in the U.S. in 4 years that I work, he heard about the Gerson somewhere, and so he referred a client who has had cancer since 2012 or something, and she's on chemotherapy right now, and he's tried everything to keep her alive. And so he finally called, and he couldn't get hold of me, so he left me a message, an email. I responded, and he wanted me to try to help this person with the Gerson therapy while he's still doing the chemo. And so he's asking me to step in to help him out. He said that I'm open, he said, to alternative. I don't have a problem with that. If all things are failing, and I mean, you know, we need to look outside, and if it works, that's great, he said. So, but he's keep changing the drugs because the person becomes resistant after a few months, and the numbers start to go up. So at first, the numbers go down. Okay, so the tumor markers go down, they're on chemo, they're watching it, and then after a while, if this seems good, and then we check it, oh, the number's going up again. And they're still on the chemo, number's going up. Oh man, the cancer is fighting, it's resisting. But all he's doing is trying to kill, right? But it's an environmental issue, remember? Environmental issue. What's an important thing that you need to address when it's an environment? What's the problem here? What would you want to do? You've got to clean, right? Clean up. You've got a toxic, hazardous material in the system. How can your body heal if it's there? You got to clean it up through what kind of support? Liver. Okay, you've got to always think liver, liver, liver. Okay? And then the other thing is there's no energy. Where do you get the energy? Oxygen. This guy has low oxygen levels. They're tired. They're pretty much wiped out, and low energy, weak. And are you going to say, okay, you need to start doing brisk walking and start exercising? You need cardio. Are you going to do that? Not for stage 4. Okay. So you got to find other ways. And so I'm going to show you something that is true situation that has happened. When you introduce oxygen, and you will see, it's a miracle. It's just like the breath of life coming back into a person who's dying. So lab test doesn't lie. Imaging study is important. And like I said, there is a doubling interval of cancer approximately every how many months? Watch the video by John McDougall, Why Did Steve Jobs Die? It's about 3 to 10 months. And there's a calculation that he did. And in fact, Steve Jobs, he actually had his first cancer appear, according to the calculation, when he was age 24. It wasn't in his 40s. It was as far back as the 24 when they could have found the cancer. But it wasn't showing up then because it's too small. The first time you see a visible tumor, it's about 500 million cells. 500 million. So that's about the size of like a half a pencil eraser. It's very small. So when you get an imaging done, the doctors will say, the radiologist, we're not sure what this is, but we'll keep an eye on it. That's all they can say. Okay? And I don't think we can do a needle biopsy. It's too small. We'll miss it because it's three-dimensional. You have to really see that you're poking it. You could easily have a misdiagnosis. So we'll wait until it gets bigger. When it gets bigger, it's easy to hit it with a biopsy. Okay? Now, if you did a PET scan, though, it might light up. Because remember, a PET scan requires a sugar injection. Okay? So you get the sugar in, it's going to go to the cancer. And it'll light up. You'll see FDG increase compared to the other cells. But you don't just run a PET scan. That's radiation. You might have to wait a little bit. I mean, if that's desperate, yeah. But you don't just go and get a PET scan. It's very expensive, and it's gamma radiation. If you have too much of that, it'll form new cancers. But you need to monitor. If you're doing GERS, you need to monitor. If you're doing it at home, you should probably check. If you have a very aggressive cancer, like stage 4, you probably want to do an imaging about every 5 months, maybe, just to know for sure that you're doing the right thing. Okay? What if it's all over the whole body and you didn't even know it, and then in my opinion, this is what I look at it. Okay? Chemotherapy is bad. It will form new cancers in the future. It is actually carcinogenic. It'll kill this, but it may form other new cancers somewhere in the body later on. So it's bad news. But if you have a condition where you need an extra 2 months or 3 months to live, and the oncologist will tell you, if we do this chemo, you might gain about 3 to 6 months or something. If that's what you're looking for, maybe that's all you have to do. You just have to extend that extra time of life, which is what I call you're buying time while you're on Gerson. Hopefully that will kick in something and then you can get some survival, increased survivability. But I have a handful of cases like that because who never know. I have somebody right now who's doing dual, both Gerson and chemo, and she's now on her 14th month since she started Gerson. And I told her to go ahead with the chemo at month 4 because the numbers were so high, over 1,000. And it was getting worse. She was just going downhill quick. And I said, you know, what do you do? Which is the lesser evil? You know, what can you do? She's dying. Her family wants her to live. I have a responsibility. You know, if you just do one thing and you just are not flexible at all, what's going to happen? Because this country here is very Sioux hungry, okay? So if you don't do what is a reasonable and customary action, it could come back on you. So I have no choice but to practice defensively. And I'll say, you know what? Based on the situation right now, you've doubled the size of the cancer. It's been 4 months, and you're doing full Gerson. We don't have time to stop it. You know, this cancer is going 60 miles an hour. We're going only 30 miles an hour. There's no way to catch up on time to meet that 9 months down the road, which is that 9 to 12 month window. We might not make it there. It'll block something. You're going to end up with a blockage of the colon. And we have no choice because yours is inoperable. Okay. We have no choice. Go ahead and do the chemo to shrink it. Buy CMU some extra months. And we'll continue the Gerson at a modified level. And hopefully you will extend your life long enough to rebuild you up and get all the chemicals out of you down the road. Hopefully. It's a very decision. This decision making is turning in her mind. I said, okay, I don't like chemo, but you know what? My family wants me to live, and some of them, they're not really believers in the Gerson. I got to do something. So I said, okay, go ahead. And so it wasn't scheduled chemo, and within 1 month, the numbers all dropped. It's powerful. It does kill. It's just that, like I said, it's like cutting grass. When you cut the grass, it's great. What happens after a few days? Yeah, that's what it is. You're cutting grass. So it helped. It debulked and reduced her cancer, knowing it's going to come back. So I better do something right now to change the environment before it becomes a problem. I made sure she has got oxygen. I made sure she got all the support system, the enzymes. And so what happens then is every month, I was watching the numbers. So it's down. So the oncology is doing something. I'm doing something. And then when she visits the oncologist said, man, you're doing so well on chemotherapy. Let's stick with it. It's the best numbers I've seen. And she's been doing Gerson already for months. Never acknowledge Gerson and never will. It's okay with me. Who cares? I don't have to prove anything. I just know that that's the way to get healthy is to improve your metabolism, get the toxins out. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me who gets the credit. God does get the credit, though. So she's now in her 14th month on the Gerson therapy, a stage 4 colon cancer with metastasis to the liver. 8 centimeters. Huge and large liver. And the latest imaging, they said it hasn't changed. It has remained the same and no more growth. 14 months. I think she's going to survive. But it'll be a long fight. It'll be like 5 years or so to continue to resist it. And to a certain point in time, she'll probably survive, but then, you know, she might get something else that's unrelated to cancer. You know, but hopefully she'll maintain a better lifestyle, and that will make her survive. The signs and symptoms is important to consider in terms of evidence-based. So you have to feel good. You have to have the energy. You have to sleep well for me to know you're getting better, not just from the lab evidence and imaging. Also, because imaging doesn't always detect everything. There may be small residual spread, but they don't know what it is. It's too small. So your symptoms are important. Also, your perception of how you think you're doing. Okay? And not just you. I want to see your family members. I want to ask them that question. So how do you think she's doing? Do you think she's doing better? Does she look better to you? Any problems? And they'll say, no, dude, she looks good. She looks good. I have one client right now. She has 3 daughters. They're in New Jersey. She had esophageal cancer. And it's stage 4. And I had a cousin in Wisconsin, my wife's side. He had the same cancer, and he was about, I think he was like 42 years old. And he went through the system. And what they did is very radical. They basically shortened his esophagus. So they cut out the cancer in the esophagus, and they pulled it up way to the throat. So the stomach is sitting up in the chest. Very radical. So basically, when you eat the food, it's already in your stomach. As soon as you swallow, it's there. Man, it's right. Who knows what will happen with that kind of radical approach. But anyway, so they pulled the stomach up, and he lasted about 6 months or something, and they did another check, and it went to his brain. And then that was it. Okay? So within about 8 months from the diagnosis, he was gone. Very aggressive. And then this woman has the same diagnosis, and she's now in her 11th month on the Gerson therapy with nothing done. Feels good. I asked the daughters, how does she look to you? Oh, she looks great. Man, we're happy. So when the family is happy, no, good shape. Okay? You're not going to be blamed for it. Her family's happy. And then how about you? How do you feel? I feel great. I'm eating well. I have energy. And then I checked her labs. The labs look good. It hasn't gone up. The numbers haven't gone up. And in fact, I might have, that might be one of my cases I'm going to show you. And then as far as the overall perception, she thinks she's getting better. And so the labs support it. And I keep remembering my cousin. Why? You know, it's a choice. You know, your choice. And of course, if he chose the Gerson method, I thought about that. Let's say it didn't work for him. Do you know that it's easier to blame the Gerson therapy than the chemo as the problem? Of course. Because if the chemo didn't work, we accept it. Hey, you know what? That's part of the risk. But if the Gerson didn't work, you should have had chemo. You got it? That's why you have to be very careful. And a lot of doctors are extremely careful, and they're very sensitive to this. And it's the kind that will keep them from just jumping on board the Gerson. They're very cautious because those doctors who are interested, they don't want to get into trouble. Okay? So, but it's a choice. You have to be convicted and converted to do it. So my conversion started in 2004. That's evidence right there. Before that, you know, I didn't care. I was just eating normal with some meat. I was considered a vegetarian, but allowing some dairy, some just some fish, but mostly vegetables. I ate a lot of vegetables. I was pre-diabetic. And I was wearing glasses because, I had bad eyesight since I was 10 years old. And I worked out every day. Oh, yes. I ran, I worked out, but not long distance, just like 3 miles or something. I worked out in the gym every day. So I was buffed, you know, and I thought I was feeling pretty good. Except that I just didn't feel like vibrant health. And I was started out my practice in the rehab field, chiropractic and physical therapy. But I just felt like I didn't know where I was going. I just didn't feel good, that something was urging me to look more deeper. And so I discovered a vegan lifestyle, and they're out of the East Coast. You might have heard about it, Hallelujah Diet. So I thought, that's a good thing. You know, they have a way of maintaining good health. They eat a high raw diet. By the way, a raw diet is, if you can do it, it's incredible. I went 100% raw for 2 years. I was eating a case of banana every day. And the Albertsons gave me a discount, of course. And it's organic, so it's expensive. You have to eat so much. And the problem here is that I kept eating because it's high in fiber, and you keep moving things, you know, out of there. Remember, 11 to 24 hours is for a vegan average. You eat, it's like a bird, you know, you eat and it's out the next day. You know, but if you don't like to go to the restroom, you're better off eating meat. Then you can hold off for a week sometimes. The longest I've had is 1 month. I haven't been to the bathroom for 1 month. Do you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Yeah, I eat my usual. So where is that? Where? You know, the record, my record, is one person lost 30 pounds in 1 day. Yeah. So in my opinion, we probably have somewhere between 5 to 30 pounds of extra weight waiting to just drop in 1 day. My guess is that that's probably there. Anyone who has a belly has that potential. 5 to 30 pounds. Just do a cleanse and boom, they're out of there. The next day, the person said, my guts fell out of me. So what do you mean? Guts don't fall out of you. I don't know what's happening, but it just keeps going and going and going. And I said, what's wrong with that? Well, it's starting to hurt because it keeps coming out. And I just never been this thin before, you know. I said, is this going to happen every day, you know, until I'm nothing? It's diabetes. It was diabetes. So he lost 30 pounds in 1 day, was a record. And I never seen that case again, but potentially we have a lot of buildup. Okay. He said John Wayne had 75 pounds of it. when they removed his cancer. Wow. From meat, eating meat. So I started to climb Mount Whitney, and that was the beginning. 2004 in September was my initial climb. I made it only 10,000 feet, by the way. I had to go back down because I just couldn't. I didn't have the stamina. So it was in the last three climbs that I definitely summited it, which is great. It's a good feeling. So that's my testimony. So I got rid of my glasses. And I thought that never happens, you know, because when an ophthalmologist said, did you know that you can drive without your glasses now? I said, that's great. So when I took my glasses off, I can see now, you know. But I was wondering for like a year or two, my eyes were getting blurred with my glasses on. I was like, I can't see my fingers quite well. And then when I take it off, it looks better. And I put it back on because I didn't want to, because I'm so used to it. And then when they just get it off, you didn't need your glasses except at night, maybe because you need some more light. So that's all I do. I drive at night with my glasses, but otherwise I don't need it. So it reversed the deterioration process. I lost about 25 pounds total, and maybe I gained 5 pounds back. So I've maintained it. I'm pretty close to my high school weight. That's another thing, weight. There's a calculation, by the way. If you are 5'6", you're a female, then your weight should be 119, which is your high school weight, by the way, if you're normal, okay? If you're a man and you're 5'10", you should be 155. Which is usually your high school weight. So I am pretty much at my high school weight. And then longevity then is just around the corner. You cannot live to 100 years unless you are at the right weight. If you look at all the longevity studies, those people are not having extra baggage, right? This is Sandra. She had a uterine cancer. And in 2012, her daughter called me crying. I've just started my internship in the Gerson therapy. Actually, wait a minute, 2012, I just started my residency. No, it was 2011, sorry. She was one of my first cases, actually. And so she was diagnosed with serous uterine cancer, very aggressive. And this was not the first time. She had breast cancer like 7 years prior. And so they said, this is not good. You know, this is the cancer had gone to another part of the body. So it was both a uterine cancer, serous, and then on the other side, it became an adenocarcinoma. So it's like a strange situation. Anyway, the doctor said, this is not good. We need to start you on chemo, and we'll do the surgery to remove the uterus, and we'll do what we can. But and so her daughter called me and said, can she start? I mean, I know you're already training in the Gerson program. Can she start with you? I said, well, and she lives in the same town I live in. She has already spoken in many places because she's one of my successful case. And so her information is published. It's out there. This is not, you know, new, and she's given permission for me to share it. Anyway, she had to learn how to, and she was 78 years old at the time. I mentioned earlier, 210 pounds. She's the one. In the other picture that you see there, she's 127. In 12 months, got her down to 127, which is pretty much close to her ideal weight. She's 5'6", so she was only 8 pounds off. So she was close. When I give you a calculation and say this is your weight range, it's usually right. It's about within 10 pounds of my calculation that you're going to be there. So just doing Gerson. No exercise, zero. down to her high school weight, close to her high school weight. And of course, the first month of doing it, her tumor marker jumped up. It went from like 30, see the tumor marker of CA-125 is 0 to 35. And hers was like, it was around the upper limit, around the 35, because she just had the uterus taken out. So it kind of bought her time. You know, you have enough time to do something while this, when the surgery still, you know, was just done. You debulk the cancer. And then before it regroups. So she started on the Gerson right away. And then 1 month later, the number went up to 45. So that was a little bump there. And said, oh, no, it's coming back already. And we've only been on it 1 month. So I said, let's keep going. I revved up one of the five gas pedals. At the time, I only had four. So I revved up one of them. And then the second month, it went down to less than 35. And it has been there the whole time until she was done with 2 years. So it hasn't shown up, and they've done imaging studies, and it was negative. Okay? So that is a 3.5-year survivor. And she has gained another she's now close to 140, so she's gained over 10 pounds. But that's all she's in. She doesn't want to gain anymore because I told her her risk will go up. This girl here, she was featured recently in the latest newsletter of the Gerson Therapy. She's a 17-year-old girl who, she's 19 now, about 19. She had liver cancer, hepatocellular carcinoma, HCC. And her situation was really unique because she had, the cancer was quite large on her liver, and they had to cut her liver and do a partial hepatectomy. That means they had to cut out the liver, and she has less of a liver. You know how important the liver is? And you know, liver cancers are terrible. So they cut the liver out, part of it, but she almost died in the operating table. Lots of bleeding and the complication was it was like several doctors joined in to really rescue her in one of the best universities, medical universities, and in Minnesota, and they got her. You know, she survived through it, but it scared everyone. This cancer has a very high recurrence rate, unfortunately. So they told her, we're going to do an MRI on you every 3 months just to make sure. Every 3 months, because so that, you know, in my mind, you're just thinking that doubling interval. Before you can't see it, and then 3 months, oh, now you see it. So you got to catch it, because the next thing they'll do is another surgery. You see? Because at that time, the committee, the oncology committee, were not sure, they didn't have any policy as to what's the protocol to use. So they weren't sure, and so because of that, they didn't want to do chemo because there was a protocol, it wasn't met. They were not sure for that particular case. So they only can offer surgery. Now remember, she's 17 years old. She's not at the age of accountability. So if you go against the standard of care before the age of 18, you can go to jail. The parents can. Okay? Fortunately, her doctor said, you can do what you want right now because we can't do chemo. We can only do surgery. Very, very fortunate. And so her parents naturally chose the Gerson because they heard about it, they read something about it, so they gave a call and got hold of me. So I was able to start them on the Gerson program. I didn't know what will happen, so I didn't give her the full protocol, just kind of a slightly modified, and I was going to build her up. And so I put her on modified Gerson and did monthly labs. Her alkaline phosphatase enzyme was elevated, and so that was my marker to check her liver. And there was no spread to the bones or anything, so I knew that that was just the liver, one of the liver enzymes, so you had to watch the marker. So it went up slightly. And as it kept going up a few months, you know, as long as it's slow, I'm not too concerned. And then eventually it peaked out at around 7 months. And then like I said, when you hit the 9 to 12 month window, if you haven't been to the doctor yet, you're probably going to be fine. So sure enough, she met the 9 to 12 month. There was no recurrence, and they did imaging, and the one of the imaging showed that the liver had completely regenerated. It came back to a full liver. Amazing. But it took over 7 months to do it. Over 7 months. So hey, it's fully regenerated. And so she has finished her 2 years. Actually, it would be this month, yeah. So now she's back to school because she had to take some time off school. And she's now studying at the university. She made it. And now she's on a maintenance program. I had another girl that was around that age that had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, it's a Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she was 17 years old and from New Jersey. And so the doctors wanted her to do chemo because chemo is very effective with any non-solid cancers like leukemia and Hodgkin's. They wanted to do Gerson. So unfortunately, they did it in a secret. And so, if you don't go to ER, if you don't go to any hospital, you don't check in at all, nobody will know, right? They did diagnose it, but then they said, let's just monitor it, you know? It's a little small. And that's the time when they started Gerson. But then after, we'll check, every few months or something, but they never really went to the checks. They kind of hid because they want to just do Gerson. And so she was fine for a while, like 10 months. She seemed to be doing well. And then the oncologist said, hey, you haven't checked with us for a long time. And so they went ahead and did a check, and they never checked. And so they sent some authorities to their home, and they put him in jail. So one of my clients, the father, went to jail. And they were going to get her to start on chemo, because that's the rule. So she escaped the country, and she's in Sweden, in her original, where she came from. So she sent me a text there, an email actually, and she said that the Swedish government, because I just turned 18, and at that age, they said that you're no longer accountable. I think earlier, 17 was earlier, so that's why she escaped. But the problem is that they said, she was actually just a few months before she turned 18. Said you can still qualify for chemo. They said, but we know, it's too close to the edge. But you can qualify. We'll give it to you. Our results are very good. And so she, I told her, it's up to you what you want to do. I mean, the cancer was still there even though it's stable. And so she, I think she chose to go ahead with the chemo, and then she said she was going to go right into back to Gerson and maintain it the rest of the time after the chemo sessions. So the chemo will shrink it, but then, like I said, it will wipe out your white cells, and then you'll be susceptible in the future unless you did something to your lifestyle. So that's another case. One didn't go to jail, and the other one did. Okay, now I'm going to show you an actual... This is actually quite interesting. I'm going to show you. Let's see if I can. I have to get this out of the AirPlay for a second. Let's see. This one here. Okay, now this one here is... pancreatic cancer. So I'm going to go ahead and show you. I can actually enlarge it. That's what I like about this, because the lab is a big lab. So let's see if I can help this here. All right. So these are labs that are done once a month, And I'm going to show you here. This is John Doe. You see in the top left there, number two. He's got pancreatic cancer, stage 2B, January 22 of this year. And this is his lab, his baseline lab before starting Gerson. He was evaluated for Gerson on February 12th. So it was about a month, couple of weeks after he was diagnosed. But he went on Gerson on his own at home to get started. And then, so the collection here is on February 9. Just kind of stay with me here. On February 9, let me see if I can do this. I'll activate my pointer so I can point to you some important stuff here. Now, if you're a doctor, you can definitely understand what's going on here, but I'll help point it out here. Oh, boy. I guess I can't do it from here because I'm doing it from an Excel spreadsheet. Okay. But I'll just point out to you. You look at the first column, okay, where it says under 2015. Okay. You look at his liver numbers, okay? The liver number is the one that's all highlighted dark, okay? Alkaline phosphatase, or alk-phos, is 253. Normal is 39 to 117. So it's out of range. This is an elevated liver enzyme. Also, the AST and the ALT are another enzyme of the liver. Oncologists watch this a lot. It's 175 for the ALT and 113 for the AST. And the GGT is 1,256. Normal is 0 to 60. Wow, that's very high. And when you see that, it said, you know, this is February, and he's got enzyme levels that high. He won't make it. That's why the average the average life expectancy with pancreatic cancer is somewhere between 4 to 7 months. Not very much at all. It's very fast. So if you can live more than that, they say, oh, you did good. You've done good. So when I looked at that, I said, my goodness, if the GGT is that high, and then his alk-phos is all those. So I look at certain numbers because I know if the bile duct is blocked. And the bile duct is blocked if the alk-phos and the GGT are both elevated. That's kind of like the general rule. So it's blocked. The other thing is his bilirubin was starting to go up. His bilirubin was 1.2, and that's the upper limit of the normal range. So when you look at his eyes, it's starting to turn yellow. So jaundice is setting in. You know, bile is bilirubin is a breakdown of red blood cells. So the red blood cells gets recycled in the spleen, and then it's going to end up as bilirubin. And if you don't get bilirubin out of your bile, it will back up into the blood as total bilirubin, and it will be elevated. So your eyes will be yellow. Skin is yellowish. And then if it gets really worse, you might end up with, the stool will be a clay color. Okay? What makes it brown is the bilirubin. So he's got a blocked bile duct. Without even looking at him, I know it's blocked. So I told him, you know, let's watch this, because if it gets blocked and you can't get the poisons out, we're going to be in trouble. So second month, you can see alk-phos is 550 now. I mean, this is a huge jump. Normal alk-phos is maximum 117. It's now 550. It doubled. I said, oh, my goodness. Is this only our second month? And we still have 7 months to go, you know, to make to that 9 to 12 month window. So I said, okay, why don't you go ahead and call your doctor and have them put a stent in your bile duct, just like that. Hopefully the doctor will approve. Well, she called the doctor up and said, you know, doc, I need a stent. Can you imagine telling the doctor that? Well, how do you know you need a stent? Well, you know, look at my lab. Now, of course, doctors, they look at labs a lot. Yeah, I guess you're right. Let's go ahead and do an ultrasound just to make sure. So they did an ultrasound, abdominal ultrasound. Oh, man, it is blocked. It is blocked. So they did a surgery procedure. It was just a short procedure. And he felt better. 1 month later, you can see what happened to the number. Alk-phos went down to 243 from 550. That's the third column there. And then the The rest of the liver enzymes, the AST and ALT, came normal. You see that? And then the GGT went from 1744 down to 693. He felt great. Oh, man. This is good. I hope it'll last. But the cancer is not done yet. It's the pancreatic cancer that's affecting all his liver. It's in the pancreas. It's still there. The reason why, I'm going to go down here. You'll see the CA19-9. That's the pancreatic tumor marker right there. Okay, the CA19-9, I highlighted that. It started at 29, and now it's 44, second month, and now the third month, it's at 81. Oh, man. I mean, the cancer is moving. You know that, especially when it has a big jump like that. So it's moving. But remember now, the liver is important, right? If you got a jammed liver, there's no way to get out of this. So when I looked at his liver marker, I said, okay, it's down, but let's see what happens at the fourth month. So at the end of the fourth month, numbers started to go up again. The liver enzymes AST and ALT went up to 58 and 69. It was 39 and 32. But the GGT continued to go down. So I was starting to get a little bit concerned there, but I wanted to see, okay, let's just modify a few of this gas pedal and try to see if we can strengthen the protocol. And then let's see, I'm going to see something here. So in, it was June, it was around May at the time when his AST and ALT were had gone back up. That's when I said, that's when he told me, I'm having a lot of pain here. It's hurting me. And I said, okay, the cancer is pushing into your stomach. So he's starting to lose his appetite. And it's like when you eat, you know, you feel full already because it's pushing you. The pancreas is sitting right underneath the stomach. So it's in the head of the pancreas. The cancer is pushing up, and he was feeling not good at all. And I said, okay, you know, we don't have much time because remember that 4 to 7 months is their average. So I, and he was in a lot of pain. And that was May. He was the first person that I was teaching at the institute. And one doctor there who was a student, and he was from Dubai. I think it's godsend. It was godsend because I never knew about it until that it can be applicable at home. So he said to the class, "Have you guys heard of ozone?" I said, "Yeah, we heard of ozone." "Well, you know, I've seen 60,000 cases in Dubai." He's much older than mine, but very sharp, intelligent, very intelligent integrative medicine doctor. He said, "You know, we use it all the time. We're reversing cancer in 3 months." And I said, okay, I thought in my mind, that's pretty good. But I kept remembering him because I was at the institute and he was texting me how much pain he's going through. What do I do? You know, I'm in a lot of pain. Should I take a narcotic? I said, just wait a second here. Let me just see what happens. So I came back and then I started doing some research and I was able to get it for him. So he started ozone at home. And here's what happened. Okay, so his AST and the ALT and GGT, still about the same on the AST and the GGT and the ALT. They're still about the same, 74 and 583. And I can put the date up there. See, the ozone was started May 28. Now, this was a June 10, okay? June 10, it was still elevated. The total bilirubin was 230. It was going up already. He's starting to get jammed. And the GGT was 583. It was starting to rise. Those two are important to tell me that your bile duct is getting clogged again from toxins, okay? Now look at what happened on July 9, 1 month later. Just about everything became normal, except the GGT. It's down from 583 to 245. Do you see that? Is it too hard to see? I guess, my goodness, unrealized. Let me see if I can, how about that? I'm sorry, I should have shown you. So you can see it started from 1256, right? 1744, 693. See, it's going up, and then 583. At that point, I started to be a little concerned. So I put him on ozone, and look at 1 month later, 2045. And then after that, it's down to 151. You see that? And the rest are all clearing up already. So it helped improve the liver. So because of that, He is now on his 11th month on the Gerson therapy. Okay? And I thought, oh man, because I was so nervous for him because I thought I was going to lose him. God is wonderful. Amen. You know, and so I was thinking, what else can I do for him? Now, his tumor marker, I mean, make no mistake, though. Some people have to work through the cancer for a long time. But if you look at his tumor marker, it's still going up. Let's see if I can get to that here. Okay, CA19-9. Okay, here it is. So it started out at 29, 44, 81. You see that? It's going. When oncologists see this, they know the cancer is just getting worse. 133, 224, oh, 218. Kind of stopped for a moment. From it had a little break, and then down up to 249. So we're still fighting that, and he's now in his 11th month, and I don't know how long he'll live, but he is not doing any medication. He's able to walk around. He sometimes goes to a store, and he's in some discomfort, but not a whole lot of pain, because oxygen is an anti-inflammatory. So he's not. Actually, it's only in the last 2 weeks that he's had to take some narcotic. And I told him, you know, you have no choice. It's that cancer. It's so severe. So I don't know what's going to happen. I just hope that that things will work out for him. So, you know, you have a very complex case. So I guess that's as much of the technical stuff I have to show you, because it can really get more and more technical, and I analyze it all the time. So at this point, I'm done, okay?